C2E2 2017 has come to an end, and well, we're pretty wiped out, I don't mind saying. No special interviews this week or fascinating stories about the current state of the comic book industry, just MJ and me, very sleepy, talking about comics. So, let's hop to it. Cue the music. That's right. We're taking it easy this time around. We're going to talk about our C2E2 experiences, maybe gossip a little, and probably get kind of tipsy. Who the hell knows? This week, C2E2 for me too. Then we'll share our top 5 most anticipated issues of the week and assess Batman The Shadow number 1 and Namwolf number 1. It's Wednesday, April 25th. Happy New Comic Book Day. You're listening to Casual Wednesdays. What do you say?
I could use a million naps for the next week.
I think just the one would suffice.
We didn't even stay out that late. That's the thing. I don't know why we're so exhausted.
It's just being on your feet. Well, anyway, we'll get into that in a second. Hello, everyone. You're listening to Casual Wednesdays with Doom Rocket. I'm your host, Jarrett Jones. And with me, as always, is Doom Rocket Associate Editor, the Bailey's Irish Cream in my crappy jet black coffee, Molly Jane Kramer. Hey, MJ, how you doing?
Good.
How you feeling?
Good. I like to think I'd be the Amaretto.
Amaretto?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Okay, I get down with that.
I'll be the Jim Beans.
Yeah, bad habits beget bad habits. So this week we are talking about C2E2, or rather, what happened at C2E2.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to do a C2E2 preparation episode, but all this crap at Marvel went down, so that's what our last episode was all about. But this week we get to really bask in the afterglow.
Yeah.
Except nobody was handing out cigarettes, and I certainly wasn't laying in any satin sheets.
That is true. We were laying in our own sheets. It's always nice to have a convention where you can go home at night.
Absolutely.
And let your cats lay all over your head.
Though I will say we got to invest. We have to invest in getting a hotel room at the Hyatt over at McCormick, because schlepping back and forth from McCormick to Logan it's daunting in its own way.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I think like the lifts there and back still was less expensive than stay in there. But it's just annoying to have to sit in that damn car.
Yeah. And I got chatty Uber drivers.
Did you? I didn't have that.
Every time, every morning, like I had to go on coffee runs, and I'd have like a lap full of coffee, and I'm like just paranoid.
Jared brought these fancy coffees, like cold brew coffee from the coffee bar that he works at,
Gaslight
Coffee Roasters. That's right. And everybody was very, very pleased with these iced coffees.
Well, I was pleased that I could do it, but these nimrods that I always ended up getting in the back of a car they'd be like, "So, you good back there?" I'm like, "Yeah, man, just, avoid the speed bumps," which I guess was their cue to hit all of them and also play god-awful music and chat my ear off. But
it is Chicago. It's nothing but potholes.
Oh, yeah. If anything, this year's C2E2 reminded me how much I actively dislike this town, but hey, that's true. Forget it, Jared. It's Chicago.
Uh-huh.
So let's talk about our experience. Did you have a good con?
I did.
Why don't you tell me and listeners at home a little bit of what you did this weekend?
Well, my only regret was I didn't get to see as many people as I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I went with friends to quite a few panels, pretty much all of the Image-sponsored ones, and they were all awesome. I got a chance to, chat with a few people in Artist Alley, but I think I got maybe a quarter of the way through the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah. Usually I try to like start at one end and go all the way through and say hello to friends and just like get to see people's art and maybe see something new that I haven't seen before, meet a new artist whose stuff that I didn't even know I was going
to
like.
Was there anybody in particular that you wanted to see that you didn't get the chance?
There were a few. Yeah. I didn't get to see Charles Soule. I barely got to see any of the other 4-star guys, which is funny because they're in Chicago and I do see them fairly often.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to go by and just say hey, and I They had pins. I wanted to buy their enamel pins, and I didn't get them.
Well, I didn't get to see Jim Terry. That was my big regret.
See, I walked past Jim, and he was busy. I didn't stop and chat, but he was right by where they were. There was like a little kind of a little Chicago conglomerate right there.
I felt the pang of missing him, because I got to see him in Seattle.
Yeah.
And of course, he lives in town with us, so I'll probably end up seeing him at some point. But seeing him at C2E2 is always like a good, like, it's a touchstone.
It's yeah, like, it's hey, nice man, what's to see up? People, yeah.
I saw a picture of him on Facebook. He's hanging out with Richard E. Grant.
I saw that.
The With Nail and I thing over at the Music Box. Mm-hmm. I was like, this man, and I need to talk about movies, and I didn't get that chance. I didn't get a chance to just chill out and talk about regular stuff. And that was a bummer.
Hopefully we'll get that soon.
Well, I also went to quite a few panels myself. I was scavenging for a story, and of course, no Major League exclusives with the exception of the Revival announcement from Tim and Mike.
That's pretty cool.
Really did come our way, but I did not get to go to that panel.
Yeah.
Instead, I was too busy like ghosting around the DC stuff. I went to, and we found out more about the Dark Matter, the Dark Days, and the Dark Knight crossover thing that's going to be happening.
All the darkness.
So pretty much, I went into a room and listened to Dan DiDio articulate my worst fears, where they were sneaking in all the crappy Image stuff they wanted to do with New 52.
Old Image. Let's specify.
The old Image, like the McFarlane, yes. Potasio, Valentino stuff, and sneaking it into DC Comics under the banner of Rebirth.
Yeah, all that 90s shit.
So all the goodwill from the DC Rebirth stuff that we've been really digging. I don't know what's going to happen to it with Dark Matter. I think it's just a way to introduce new characters, but
I'm sure they're gonna the hopefulness that is, you know, inherent in Rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're gonna get rid of that because they realize that it is successful.
Well, I don't think they're gonna get rid of it, but I just don't understand the big kerfluffle over this huge event, other than to introduce these characters, which all of this has a real bloodline shtuck about it. You know what I mean? You remember that?
Yes.
Annual crossover. Oh boy. I'm getting flashbacks to that, something fierce. And that was like DC's response to Image Comics back in the 90s.
They did a little miniseries of that. Like, was it last year? I think it was last year, yeah.
I don't know, but can you name one character from the Bloodlines crossover?
No.
I got the one, Loose Cannon. And the only reason I remember him is from the Superboy comics.
That's also, it. You actually read that, and I did not.
I did. I was reading comics voraciously back in those days. Mm-hmm. I guess I am now. But there was a huge block of time where I wasn't, but...
I know that was your prime time.
Well, you have to get out of your system at some point. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that I did. But tell me, what else did you do over the weekend? Who did you get to see?
At one of the panels that I went to, it was so funny. Me and my friends Megan and Mariah, we got we're like the M team.
Mm-hmm.
We got like the front row at every panel we went to. It was pretty great. So we're just like sitting there. Straight in front of everybody's pretty cool.
Such a socialite.
Not a socialite, just like and enjoying the information and just there were a couple storytelling panels that were just incredibly informative and just inspiring. Wow. It was just really great to hear these talented people talk about how they work and what inspires them and very, very cool. But at one of those, I got to meet Jordi Belair.
That's
finally
awesome.
Who I've been kind of like internet friends with for a little bit. We have a ton of mutual friends.
Sure.
And she recognized me. Because I, you know, someone like that, I don't want to bug and be like, hey, you know, I'm so-and-so on the internet.
You retweeted me one time.
Yeah.
You remember me?
Yeah. I don't want to assume, you know, anybody like is going to remember me, but it was just really cool because she did. And she was really, really cool.
That's great.
I didn't get much of a chance to like hang out with her,
mm-hmm.
but that was another person that I really wish I could have gone to see her and Declan Shalvey in Artist Alley just to like chat for a little bit and talk about stuff.
And just say, hey, we appreciate you.
Yeah. But I did not get a chance to. It just sucks.
You know who I got to meet?
Who'd you get to meet?
Dan DiDio.
I did see that photo, one photo of you.
But it was nice to finally meet the guy in person. I've only been reading and griping about him for at least over a decade now.
Griping is a kind way to put it.
Well, you know, the man is a politician born. And as a guy who went to school studying the politics, I have to tip my hat to the guy because that guy knows how to spin things.
Well, I think you have to be in his position.
Absolutely. I mean, like, he ran two panels back to back. Where's the man finding the energy? By the time I was out of line and sitting down next to our pal Barry in the second panel, the top secret Dark Matter panel, I wanted to crawl under the chairs and fall asleep. And meanwhile, he's up there just juggling words and, like, throwing them at us. He's like, we got Tony Daniel over here and we got Steve Orlando over here. here, and we got James Tynan over here.
That's actually, like, yeah, that's
where
a,
does he get the energy?
That's a pretty good impression. Pretty good impression.
Thanks.
I've seen both road shows, like retailer road shows, and also panels where he has been moderating or just talking. He's a very charismatic dude.
He is at that.
Yeah, and he really does believe in DC. He really does love the material. A lot of fans will give him a lot of shit, but that's a guy that's really dedicated to DC as a company and as a brand.
Try to kill Dick Grayson. What monster would do that?
Uh-huh.
But C2E2 was not all fun and games and hanging out at panels and such. There was work involved, too. MJ and I both volunteered at the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund this month, and we'll be doing so again this year at San Diego Comic-Con, so we hope to see you there. I pulled a couple of heavy shifts, and I did my first official con breakdown this year.
Yeah. It's always fun doing the booth breakdown.
See, you're old hat with this stuff. You know how it's done.
I've worked a lot of conventions now. Yeah. I mean, it's more fun to not have to do that stuff because it's like when they, you know, shut those lights off at like 5 p.m. on Sunday, you can be like, oh, yeah, that was a con. I'm tired. Let's go home. But when you're doing anything with a booth, it's like, oh, now we get to start breaking down this entire booth and packing up all these books and boxing up all this stuff.
Here comes the manual labor.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, Jared is a very strapping fellow, so he was a huge help with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's like rolling his eyes at me, but it's true. Jared's like strong and stuff.
Well, thank you.
Certainly more than me.
What would you grade me as with my first breakdown? Because we had to fit it all in that really tight one pallet.
Oh yeah, fitting on a pallet. I think the only reason I think we went really fast because the booths sold really well.
Hey, I was hustling those newsletters.
Yeah, no, Jared was selling everything.
Get your defender here. But you can have your defender right here, sir.
I mean, we had less to pack up and box up and everything. But I think that Alex not being there to kind of like, he's like a machine with that stuff. Alex Cox is the deputy director of the CBLDF and runs their booth usually, but he left a little early and someone else from CBLDF was kind of like directing everything. And I think if it had been Alex, who knows his shit like the back of his hand, would have been a little bit faster, but I think we did awesome.
Hey, I wasn't timing anybody. I was just happy to be there.
Yeah.
Hell, I was happy to be anywhere.
Yeah.
However, there were a couple of things that I didn't get to do this year, and it really bummed me out. There were a couple of people that I didn't get to meet. I didn't get to meet Jonathan Hickman, who was there, which is funny because he was signing at the CBLDF booth.
That's right. He was just late, though, right?
He was late, and I was managing his line.
Yeah,
the irony of that. Were. So finally, when he arrived, I got to line everyone else up, and Alex was like, all right, you're good, and it dawned on me that like I had to leave at that moment to go to a panel. So I was like, okay, I got to go.
And right after that, he was at a panel, one of the image panels I was at.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get to meet him, but it was the first time I had like seen him like talk.
Yeah.
And he is a very funny dude.
I'm sure. You'd have to write such morbid shit.
Yeah, but I just was not expecting like just almost kind of like a almost jolliness from him.
Jolly?
He was just like so super witty and funny, just like nonstop.
I was also embarrassed that I didn't get to meet Andrew McLean because we were both standing online waiting for the can at one of the local watering holes. And I was just standing next to him, ignoring him because I just took him for one of the Logan Square.
He looks like a Logan Square, right?
Yeah. I was like, who the hell's this guy? So did you get any good swag this year at C2E2?
I bought almost all the enamel pins.
Oh, yeah? From who?
Mostly from Jen Bartel.
Oh, very cool.
Who has amazing pins and who I always buy pins from.
Mm-hmm.
But I bought five from her. Well, five for me, and then I bought two for our beloved Stefania.
Yes.
Who is in Missouri now.
Stefania did not attend C2E2 with us this year.
Yeah, it was really depressing not having her here.
She has moved on to greener pastures, but she is still a contributing writer here at DoomRocket.com.
And still in our hearts.
And you can look forward to her upcoming feature, Books for Babes, which will be hitting this week. Stefania, we miss you.
My biggest highlight of the weekend was probably the Wicked and Divine party.
Oh, well, tell me a little bit about that.
Jamie McKelvey and Kieran Gillen have done this before.
Mm-hmm.
They've done it at Thought Bubble in Leeds in the UK, and they've done it at the Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle last year. They just throw a Wicked and Divine dance party. This one was held at the Bottom Lounge, which was a very good venue for it. A really great turnout. Like, we invited a lot of Wicked cosplayers. Like, every time we would see them, be like, hey, are you going to the Wicked and Divine party? And they'd be like, no. And then a bunch of them came, and it was really cool.
Were they? I didn't see too many cosplayers there.
There were a few. A few of them were there, not in the same cosplay they were in when they were, you know, on the con floor. Mm-hmm. But some of them came in. I was kind of a little bit in cosplay.
Yes, you were. You were Amaterasu.
Yeah, but I was like a casual cosplay Amaterasu, mm-hmm. sort of.
You were very cozy, very comfortable.
I was like club Amaterasu.
Yeah.
Because I did a much more toned down version of the makeup. Mostly because I had no idea how to do the makeup.
I think you did a great job, and it conveyed itself really well. You kept the color motif, right?
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I was just like wearing leggings and a very big flowy white dress. I think it worked.
Well, I spent a lot of the time hanging out at the bar, but I took a lot of pictures. Not as many as I would have liked, but...
the photographs you took were great.
Some of them turned out okay, I suppose. So, MJ, are you looking forward to next year's C2E2? Are you charged for C2E2 2018?
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm. What would you like to see come our way next year?
Well, this year's guest list, I mean, that's the main thing that I care about, is like a really good comic creator guest list. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they could outdo this year.
It was great. Because
this was pretty much everybody I love at the show. Absolutely. Who's a creator, who's not like, you know, like Danny. My friend Danny wasn't here.
No.
Danny and Stefania, and that breaks my heart.
Yeah.
But as long as they try to keep up the same level of amazingness for the guest lists, because mm-hmm. this is the best it's been in years. I don't know if that's timing because of when Emerald City was. It was a little bit earlier than normal this year. I'm not sure if that's to do with it, or if the C2E2 people just
had to
found, or if they just found guests like earlier than normal. I just want them to make sure that they keep that the A-list comic people coming, because mm-hmm. I don't care about the actors and shit.
Sure.
I just want comic people. What about you?
This year, the only Doom Rocket contributing writer I got to see, besides you, was Mr. Brad Sun. He shares a booth with his brother, the Sun Brothers, which you can look them up at the Sun Brothers on Twitter, and you should. But I only got to speak with him very briefly. We had made tenuous plans to hang out Sunday night, and that did not get to happen, primarily because of the CBLDF booth.
The teardown?
Teardown. Yeah. But I would love it if we could get a few more of our writers in, like have Kyle King come up from Florida and have Arpad come in from Boston. And
Arpad, come home.
Have Brandy come and stay with us again from San Diego. But it would be really great if we could spend one C2E2, our home con, with most of our team and at least get one group picture together.
That would be fun. Really cool. I just want to time manage myself better next year, because I spent too much time in panels, as much as the panels were awesome.
Sure.
Spent too much time in the panels and not going through and seeing people.
Yeah.
And we left so early on Saturday, and then I was like getting there on Sunday because I was being indecisive about my outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Typical MJ move.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to utilize my time better, because you don't realize it until like midday on Sunday. It's like, oh God, there's only a couple hours left.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it just goes by so quickly, so quickly.
Well, speaking of managing our time correctly, we're going to have to cut off our conversation on C2E2 at this point. So if we saw you there, we're happy that we saw you. If we didn't, hopefully we get to see you next year. But in the meantime, we have business to attend to, as always, and that is to share our top 5 most anticipated issues of the week. And this week, MJ, I'm going to have you kick us off. What is your first issue?
All right. My first pick of the week is Bitch Planet number 10.
Say, what? What is this?
Yeah, it's the series called Bitch Planet.
No.
It's written by Kelly Sue DeConnick, art by Valentine DeLandro.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. It's been a long time since we've had another issue out.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an even longer time since we had an issue before that.
Mm-hmm.
And I am behind on the series, which I think I mentioned in our To Read Pile series, because like when the issues come out so slowly, you just kind of like, it loses its immediacy. You lose that need, like, oh, I gotta read this. So I mean, I need to catch up now, since this is like a storyline.
Definitely.
The end of a storyline. But because it's the end of a storyline, that means the reason that I'm mentioning this book coming out is that I will finally have next month volume 2 of Bitch Planet to sell people because I have had so many freaking people coming into my store. Hey, is Bitch Planet volume 2 out? And a couple of them I kind of have to almost argue with because they're like, no, it was supposed to come out on this date. I was like, no, it was pushed back. But the website said, no, it was pushed back.
Yeah.
So it will be really nice to have a book when they say, hey, volume 2 of Bitch Planet, do you have it? I can say, yes, here it is.
Yes, you can
read this. So that's my main reason for mentioning it. I'm excited to read more of it. I'm just excited that it's there at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very good reason. It's a better reason than the one I have for my first pick of this week, which is Mother Panic number 6. And the only reason I'm picking it is just because I love it.
Mother Panic is amazing.
Shouldn't that be enough?
That is another person that we got to spend like some good quality time with was Jodi Hauser.
We got to have a nice big pizza dinner with a whole bunch of people, including Jodi Hauser. We got to talk with her for a little bit, and that was fun. And tiki drinks, of course. But that has very little to do with why I'm picking Mother Panic number 6, because it has long been one of my favorite books coming out from the Young Animal imprint from
DC
Comics.
Yes.
I'm not over the moon about the artist working on the book right now, Sean Crystal. That is not to impugn on his ability, which is considerable.
It's just a contrast.
It is. When you look at Tommy Lee Edwards' art and then you just shift gears into the more broad and cartoony aspects of Sean Crystal's art, it kind of does create a glaring contrast. And knowing that we got Jean-Paul Leon coming after this, which is amazing, it's just, I don't know. But it doesn't detract from my overall enjoyment of the book, and in fact, I'm looking forward to it quite a bit. Also features colors by Jean-Francois Bolo. I hope I didn't butcher that. And then letters by John Workman, but also Sean Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how it works out. Mother Panic number 6 is my first pick this week. MJ, what's next for you?
My next pick is Hadrian's Wall number 6, which is a book that I just want to push the hell out of because this is one of my favorite Image series coming out right now. It's the 6th issue of just an 8-issue series, split into 2 halves, like 1 through 4, and then 5 through 8. And it's just a really awesome murder mystery on a spaceship, and it's got this Blade Runner-esque feel. And the murder mystery is really starting to unfurl, and it's involving all of these rebellions from these other moons and stuff.
Ooh. My next pick is a debut from Black Mass Studios. There's Nothing There, number 1, from the We Can Never Go Home Again co-writer Patrick Kinlan, with art by Maria Lovett and letters by Jim Campbell. It also features a very gorgeous variant cover by Alexis Sirit of Space Riders.
I saw that cover. It is super pretty.
I really want it. This is definitely a book that wears a lot of influences on its sleeve. There's a lot of Kubrick in this. But the artwork by Maria Lovett is absolutely stunning. This is not a teenager's book. This is definitely a book for adults. There's a lot of Eyes Wide Shut orgiastic imagery going on in here. So whether or not you're looking for it, your mileage may vary. But if for nothing else, it has a very pleasing aesthetic, and it's actually got me very excited to read it. There's Nothing There, number 1, is my next issue this week. MJ, what's next for you?
Well, my next one is a Dark Horse book. It is Aliens Dead Orbit, number 1, by Mr. James Stocco, which we don't see interior art from that often. So when we see it, I get real excited.
Very cool.
And having it be an aliens thing that he's been sounding like he's really excited to do it. And series that he's like stoked about, you can really see it in his art. So I am really looking forward to seeing more James Stocco art in Aliens Dead Orbit number 1. What's your next pick for the week, Jared?
Well, also Aliens Dead Orbit number 1. I got to catch very briefly him hyping it over at the Dark Horse booth this year at C2E2. But one thing I'm very anxious for is to see what he's going to do with the Aliens franchise after what we've seen him do with Godzilla.
Yeah, his Godzilla stuff was great.
Absolutely. But what really gets me pumped about it is I can't wait to see what Arpad has to say about this.
Oh yeah, he's reviewing it.
I remember when he did a required reading for Godzilla in Hell, we were talking email and he said if Stocco ever does a franchise, it'll make him read that franchise regardless of what it is.
Yeah.
And so now he's doing Aliens. So here we go. Arpad is reviewing Aliens Dead Orbit number 1 this week. You can read that on DoomRocket.com between now and Friday. We'll figure it out. But until then, that is my next anticipated issue of the week. MJ, what's next for you?
All right. My next one is The Old Guard number 3. Mm-hmm. I'm really hyping the Image books this week, I guess.
Nothing wrong with that.
I think just seeing all those Image panels and seeing all these amazing Image creators this weekend has me just humming for it.
Mm-hmm.
But The Old Guard number 3, I saw Greg Rucka talking a little bit about The Old Guard at one of the storytelling panels that I went to, and he gave it a new perspective for me, because he said that it's pretty much like Looney Tunes characters, but you know, kind of they're humans, but they can just, you know, get torn up and they don't die, so we can pretty much have them do anything because they're kind of Looney Tunes characters. And also, the other main thing that he mentioned that really stuck with me, and I can't wait to read this issue because of it, is the main character, like the main protagonist, the narrator, Andy. He said he pretty much wrote her as Slappy the Squirrel from Animaniacs. So if you read her lines in Slappy the Squirrel's voice, it kind of makes sense. So I'm going to do that with this issue. I'm going to read it in Slappy the Squirrel's voice.
Kind of like that choked Cloris Leachman, Phyllis Diller kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, with that super New Yorkie accent.
All right.
Uh-huh.
I'm down.
That's all I'm doing.
All right.
What's your next one, Jared?
Well, I'm also on the Image train. I'm back again with the Black Monday Murders issue number 5. I can't believe I'm holding this hot little number in my hands. This is easily my favorite miniseries of 2017, and now it has returned. We've got artwork from the great Tom Coker. And then, of course, letters. I have to give a shout out to Russ Wooten because, like I said earlier, it cannot be an easy job lettering a Jonathan Hickman book. But with all the symbols and symbolisms that are flying around, you have to be on your game here. But if you bother to dive in, you will find one of the most arresting murder mysteries of all comics. I'm very excited that it's back. The Black Monday Murders number 5 is my 4th pick this week. MJ, what's next for you?
All right, well, my last one is Loose Ends number 4, which has been years in the making.
Yes.
When originally published by 12 Gauge, the first 3 issues came out, and this 4th one never did.
Do you happen to know why that issue never came out?
I think it was just slowness on the part of the creators.
Hmm.
Just sometimes, you know, the creativity takes a while to come out.
But to abandon a book?
It was never abandoned. That's the thing. Hmm. It was always, you know, just in the back of everyone's mind.
Sure.
From what I hear.
I see.
So this has been a long-awaited conclusion to this little 4-issue mini that I'm so glad Image picked up.
Absolutely.
So glad. I'm just sad that my first 3 issues aren't going to match size-wise with this 4th issue, because they're oversized.
Yeah.
They're like magazine-sized almost.
Maybe Image will republish it.
I really wish they would, because, you know, they do those magazine-sized criminal specials.
Perhaps it'll be a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive.
Wouldn't that be nice?
You never know.
You never know. All right, Jared, what's your last one?
My last pick for this week is Nam Wolf number 1 from Albatross. I do believe this is the first Albatross title that we've been hyping on this podcast.
Yeah, well, because most of the Albatross books are just Eric Powell's books.
Yeah.
And neither of us really reads much Eric Powell.
I mean, Eric Powell's just fine. But
not that he's bad.
No, of course. But when you put fellows like Fabian Rangel Jr. and Logan Fairbear together in a room, or more specifically, a book, you're going to catch my attention. But the concept itself is werewolves in Vietnam. Yeah, okay, fine. I don't need to know anything more. The creative team and the concept alone have me hooked, and the covers are gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminds me of that Cry Havoc that Cy Spurrier put out, but I'm just in love with it, and I can't wait to read it. Nam Wolf number 1 closes out our top 5 most anticipated issues of the week. And every week we assess 2 books that caught our attention, be it because they're important issues or just issues that mean a lot to us, or somewhere in between. MJ, what was the issue that caught your eye this week?
Well, I am reviewing the aforementioned Nam Wolf number 1.
Nam Wolf number 1. Well, please give us the elevator pitch.
All right. A newly drafted soldier in 1970 discovers he's a werewolf during his first tour of duty in Vietnam. Hijinks of the bloody sword ensue.
Mm-hmm. And why did you decide to read this book?
Well, I've read most of Fabian Rangel's recent work and enjoyed it. Series like Space Riders and Helena Crash have an old-school sense of carefree adventure and humor. And Logan Fairbear's artwork on books like Oh Killstrike, which is awesome, and Reproduct really grabbed my attention. And their 2 names on a new creator-owned book on Eric Powell's imprint was a must-read for me. Plus, a comic named Nam Wolf requires at least a cursory glance.
Mm-hmm. What did you love about it?
Well, this is just a fun comic, and it's oddly lighthearted for its content. A couple references to Apocalypse Now, including a very apt The Horror, belie its more playful nature. This isn't a comic that's going to plumb the depths of the heart of darkness, thank goodness. Nam Wolf is going to make you gaze at some gorgeously rendered art, giggle at some jokes, and definitely gape at some raw gore.
Hmm.
Rangel always works with stellar art talent and knows not to overcrowd the pages with word bubbles, allowing Ferber's art to do the talking, and talk it does. Ferber's art and Brendan Wagner's standout colors are definitely highlights of the book. Marty's transformation into the eponymous wolf is a gorgeously and frightfully rendered 12-panel grid page, and the wolf's character design has a unique look. It's really good. Some panels are simultaneously grotesque and hilarious, and Wagner's colors are excellent throughout the issue. The rainy backgrounds during the fight sequence are particularly pretty amidst the carnage.
Oh. And was there anything you didn't like?
I only have a small complaint. Narrative-wise, and especially in like the character introductions, it relies heavily on the classic Vietnam War film tropes. And though this was certainly intentional, it feels familiar enough often enough to pull me out of the story a little bit.
Sure. Who would you recommend this book to, and why?
I'd recommend this to everyone, really, as long as they're okay with a little blood and guts and experiencing a not-so-serious Vietnam War story.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, Logan Ferber's art needs to be seen by more eyes. Stat.
And so what would you give Nam Wolf number 1?
8 out of 10.
No, that's a good score. Well, this week I am reviewing Batman/The Shadow number 1 from DC Comics and Dynamite.
They should have called it The Shadow of the Batman.
Actually, the second issue is titled The Shadow of the Batman.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
You think they were going to pass that one by? Come on.
All right. What's your elevator pitch?
Well, the elevator pitch. Batman, The Shadow, together for the first time in a post-rebirth world, that is. Yes, even though the Batman and The Shadow first teamed up back in the 70s, I would say it's well past time that they were in a bona fide A-list crossover, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after all, we wouldn't have a Batman were it not for The Shadow.
That's true.
And here we have Batman/The Shadow number 1, co-written by Steve Orlando and Scott Snyder, with art by Riley Rossmo and Ivan Plasencia, with atmospheric lettering by Clem Robbins. This is about as A-list a book can get.
All right. Why did you decide to read this book?
Well, as you know, I'm a huge noir film noir buff, and I'm a sucker for mysteries. I also love Batman and The Shadow. I practically ripped the book in half when I opened it up. I was so pumped.
All right. Well, what did you love about it?
Even though it looks contemporary, Batman's wrapped in his rebirth black and purple cape, for example, it feels like a solid yarn from the 70s or 80s. Like, it feels like Alan Grant or Doug Mensch wrote this thing. It has that noirish appeal you'd find in a Denny O'Neil Batman story, but it also has a sinister bent to it, like a good Shadow story ought. I relish the questions it raised, the lore it cited, and the dynamics it introduced. It made me wish The Shadow was joining the DCU, but only kinda. I really want to take a second and point out how great a job Riley Rossmo and Ivan Plasencia did with this book. It's atmospheric, it's moody, and it's paced magnificently. Everything a crossover like this would need, it's got.
Oh, was there anything you didn't like?
I have to wait a reasonable amount of time for the next issue. That's what I don't like. I'm over the moon for this debut, and I have a feeling that I'm going to really like what comes next.
All right. Well, who would you recommend this book to and why?
I would recommend it to any Batman fan out there. So, you know, everybody. but I would also reach out to those who have an affinity for mysteries, globetrotting adventures, or jet black crime stories, because this issue has it all.
All right. Well, what's your score?
I gave Batman/The Shadow a 9 out of 10.
Wow.
I can't believe that. I'm almost mad at myself about that. Every week, we take to social media to ask you, our listeners, the pressing questions on our minds. This week's question, what was the coolest thing you did or saw or bought at this year's C2E2? We asked and you answered. MJ, what's doing over on Twitter?
At Elijah D. Prophet said, I bought very little this year. Seeing rad people and dancing my face off takes the win.
And over on Facebook, Logan Dalton, over at Graphic Policy, I might add, said, I don't know how anything other than taking mushrooms with Grant Morrison could top the Wick Div party. Hear, hear, Logan. Nice to hear from you.
And Lane Baisden on Twitter said, saw an old friend I hadn't seen in 4 years, bought Amazing 129 9.4, and made new memories. Walked over 11 miles in 2 days. Just seems like what we always end up doing is just walking our asses off.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ivan Brandon said on Facebook, Jason's life slipping away before him. And of course, he's referring to his Black Cloud co-contributor, Jason Latour.
Well, earlier in that thread, Jason said that same thing as watching his life slide in front of his eyes. So Ivan was just being a snot.
As he does.
Yeah. Who would have guessed Ivan being a snot? And Chris Hogan, who is at Unlikely Nerd, said, did the Wick Div party, bought my Captain Rex commission by Robert Wilson IV. We love Robert Wilson.
Robert Wilson is king. Well, over on Facebook, Jody Hauser said getting to meet several collaborators in person for the first time. Which has got to be weird. Like, you share a byline with somebody mm-hmm. on a book that everyone's all hype about, and you're just now meeting them like a year later? That's got to be odd.
Yeah. All right. And Andrew Rosten said, did the panels on Image Masters of Storytelling and Retelling Fairy Tales. Bought Okararara's Prince, which is Cara McGee, who's awesome. I bought a pin from her, too, that said, oh, heck. It's kind of one of my favorite pins ever now.
That's a good pin. Yeah. Well, over on Facebook, JB Rose said, I saw 83,170 Negans.
This is just a dude in a black leather jacket and a scarf and a baseball bat.
Who the
That's
hell was
all
selling,
it is.
Who was selling all those Negan bats? Because I saw people walking around with them in boxes.
Really?
Yes, they were everywhere.
I feel like that was like a manufactured popular prop thing.
Had to have been. I feel like they were hanging them out at the door with all the Negans I saw.
Maybe they were. What's Maybe next? They were. Our friend Megan Ray Jordan posted on Facebook, I met Hey Hey, the chicken, the big chicken from Moana. Well, I mean, it's not big in the movie, but the photo that she posted is a really good Moana cosplayer with someone in an enormous Hey Hey costume. It's like a really big googly-eyed chicken costume. It's pretty great. Mm. Pretty great. I can see why that would be the highlight of a show.
I see. Well, finally on Facebook, Christopher Arneson said he finally got to meet Chip. And I assume he means Chip Zdarsky and not, say, Chip and Dale.
No, probably Chip Zdarsky. Chip Zdarsky. Right.
Yeah. Well, thanks for everyone for sharing with us. Watch out for that hashtag in 2 weeks, Casual Wednesdays. And that's all the time we have for this installment of Casual Wednesday. Special thanks to Bottom Lounge here in Chicago for hosting the Wicked and Divine Dance Party. If you're looking for amazing live shows or want to host a party of your very own, go to bottomlounge.com for details. Need more Casual Wednesdays in your life? Check out our 28-episode archive over on iTunes or search Casual Wednesdays over at doomrocket.com. And while you're over on iTunes, rate and subscribe. Let us know how we're doing. And look us up on Twitter. I'm at @JarrettJones_MJ. Where can they find you?
@MollyJane_K.
And that's it. So until the day comes that I can afford an at-home IV drip, I remain Jared, that's MJ, and from all of us here at DoomRocket.com, have a great new comic book day.